This is OTB AM.
If you were to have to pick a combination to win, let's say it was a Lions test, which combination would it be?
It would be Murray Sexton.
Of Carberry and Murray, or Sexton and Gibson Park?
Yeah, it would be Murray and Sexton.
But if you couldn't, if either the Munster partnership or the Leinster one. Not making it that easy for you.
You're not getting an answer, Adrian, enough, because it's a nonsense question.
OTB AM, Ireland's only sports breakfast show, weekdays from 7:30 AM, only on OTB Sports Radio.
Live 24/7 on the OTB Sports app.
The OTB Podcast Network.
OTB AM.
With Gillette, we don't just play the game, we change it. Gillette, made of what matters.
Our TV picks, Sue would normally be here, but she's on holiday, so Joseph Conroy is in. Joseph, good morning to you. How are you?
Morning, I'm good. How are you guys getting on?
We're starting with our shiny and new, and you've got something slightly left of centre here for us.
It's shiny and newish. We've got kind of a bit of a theme this week, which is kind of reality and docu-series. We're very much starting with reality TV. The Circle is new in the sense that there's a new British and American series out. It's kind of old. It's been running since 2018. But it's a series that I think is going to be like my last great lockdown binge. And we talked last week about kind of getting some of the greats ticked off your bucket list in these last few weeks. But I've kind of gone to the other end of the spectrum where it's just complete popcorn TV. But it's absolutely brilliant. It sounds awful.
What is it?
But it's brilliant. So premise is you've got strangers in an apartment block, completely rigged out with cameras, can only communicate through a kind of fake social media network called The Circle, which is basically like Facebook. So you've got a profile, you can speak, you can either play as yourself or you can catfish and be someone completely fake. And then at the end of it, basically all your peers are going to vote for the winner. He's going to win $100,000. So your challenge is to come up with a game plan, whether it's kind of be genuine, be nice and nicey, or be a total snake and create factions and play against other people and like sow division. But at the end of the day, you can be as nice as you want, but people want to win the money. And when this first came out, I kind of skipped it. I don't know if it was the marketing or what, but it kind of looked very Big Brothery, but it's actually very different. And this has been kind of a theme of how the show has gone down. Like even The Guardian, the first series, when kind of the first episode 2 came out, there was a review that was like, Channel 4, scrape bottom of barrel, in reality, race to the bottom. And then like 3 weeks later, it was like, how Channel 4 reinvigorated and reimagined reality TV for 21st century. Oh my God, look at this thing. It did start off with a lot of this kind of thing that you need to do in reality TV now, where it's like a social experiment and you need to sort of keep flagging that every 10 minutes. I was like, it's okay to watch this. It's a social experiment. It's okay. There's smart stuff going on here. But it's absolutely brilliant. It's absolutely addictive. Once you get into it, once you get even slightly in, it's like a king of cliffhangers as well, because you've got people basically, you can vote to give power to people who are then going to decide who's going to kick people out. And then as well, the catfishing just really escalates. Like say, these aren't really spoilers because they're all revealed in the first episode of various series, but you've got Hunter from The Gladiator in the 90s, in the most recent one, he's posing as an NHS worker, as a nurse, as like a young female nurse. You've got a guy posing as a single mother. In the current US series, you've got a novelist, like a serial novelist who's written 35 books in, just kind of creating this character, just kind of as he goes along flowing. So basically what I'm saying to you is it's easy to overlook this show, but if you watch it, you'll really enjoy it.
Where is it? Go on, sorry.
I watched a bit of this. Joe, like on Channel 4, the latest British version of it, and I was completely lost because I think we must be midway through the season or something at the moment. So explain to me, there was this guy who got done for catfishing, I want to say. So did he decide to actually become the NHS nurse, or are the producers saying to him, well, you are an NHS nurse? Or like, is there creative freedom to actually pick your catfish?
You've got options. There was one of the people who got very far in the second series in the UK version did a good article with The Independent recently. That was a bit kind of behind the scenes, but basically you can choose. So if you're going in, you can be, I'm going to be this kind of chilled out 20-something Irish guy, try and be affable, try and get everyone on your side, or you can go in and be an NHS worker. In that case, it was the former Gladiator and he was competing to give half of the $100,000 to the NHS. So he had a bit of a like moral get out clause there, but yeah, I wouldn't recommend coming in halfway through. You're probably going to be a bit lost, but
look at all that great work. Look at all that great work I do for charity while I pick up 50 grand.
Exactly. Win-win. But just to answer your question there, there's three series of the UK version on the All4 app. Again, this is one of those things that's kind of, over the years, it's kind of got a bit of a cult following and got some momentum. So if you do get into it, there's like three full series there to get through. Like I said, I didn't think I'd like it. I ended up at like up till 3:30 on Saturday night watching this stuff. Like, it's very addictive. There's a new American series, the first US series on Netflix, and the second one, the first kind of cachet of episodes, came out yesterday. So that's all there waiting for you to discover and spend a week of your life on.
How long are the episodes? These are always important things. How many are there?
So again, if we're drawing the lines between total trash and this being popcorn fun, we're talking like 47-ish minutes. So basically a TV hour.
Yeah.
Where say something like Married at First Sight Australia, they're clocking in at like 90 minutes, 100 minutes. So it's very consumable. Enough. Yeah, exactly.
So hang on. But, Married at First Sight in Australia is 100 minutes per episode.
Jer, I got to this one late. It was like recommended to me. I eventually was like, fine, there's not much else going on. Like, I don't know if you can recall off the top of your head, but I definitely remember going through a few episodes and it was like, rather than just sort of like, oh my God, drip feeding, I need to get on to the next one. It was like, geez, I could watch a film instead of watching this. But yeah this is a bit more snackable.
No, like, I mean, watching a film would be way worse for your intelligence, really. I mean, if you want to actually improve your intelligence, the new reading an encyclopedia is watching Married at First Sight Australia.
Yeah, films are just made up. This is real life, so careful what you're
doing. Okay. 90 minutes of Married at First Sight per episode. How many episodes are there? 6 minutes.
Oh my God, that's the killer. I don't know, but like, it's a very intimidating number. To be honest, I got through the actual weddings and the honeymoons, but then there's like, I don't, you're talking like 30, 40. Like, this is like, it's worth having a look, even just from like just getting the most out of an idea. They've obviously, it's like whatever, six series, they've got this formula day, and they're kings of the sort of, here's like this highly constructed situation where these people want to kill each other, and here's a talking head of a psychologist saying that relationships are difficult. Now back to the action.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Okay. Okay, the recommendation this week, and you are recommending that people watch, how many episodes per season in The Circle?
It varies, but you're talking kind of around the 20 mark, so it runs kind of almost nightly for 3 weeks. It is a lot, but I'm just saying, the message, the takeaway here is, you may be cautious. It might not sound like a good idea, but give it a go. Okay. And I'm pretty sure you'll like it.
Okay, so committing 20 hours of your life to watching people catfishing each other. I mean, look, I can see the benefits of it. I really can. So it's called The Circle. There's a UK-US version. It's on, there's some stuff on Netflix and there's some stuff on the All4 app as well. Some stuff that you might have missed on Netflix.
Yeah, just a few quick ones here. Murder Among the Mormons. I'm not sure if this has come across either of your radars, but it's really interesting. I kind of took a bit of a break from the sort of Netflix docu-series, mini-series genre for a while, but then have been sucked back in again recently. Murder Among the Mormons is pretty new. Centers on this pipe bomb attack with fatalities and kind of a string of bombings in 1985 in Salt Lake City, targeting members of the Mormon Church. Without giving too much away, it's linked into this kind of crazy trade of Mormon documents and kind of a black market for both these documents and also a kind of a market for forgeries as well. Obviously, it's really important to religion, given that its kind of basis is these tablets that an angel supposedly gave to Joseph Smith that are quite touchy about it. So some stuff starts coming out that could kind of question the foundations of the religion. You're not sure what's real, what's not real. There's bodies on the ground. There's a person in a fatal condition. It's a good 3 episodes. Lots of colourful characters. Lots of crazy going on. It's a nice little rabbit hole to go down.
Okay.
Grim, but nice.
Was it made recently enough? Is it new or is it old?
It's pretty current. It's 2021. Okay. I think it came out in March, but yeah, it's pretty new. And again, it's 3 episodes. So it's kind of, it's a nice length. Another one along the same vein is This Is a Robbery, the world's biggest art heist. Was this robbery from an art gallery in Boston in 1990. They have St. Patrick's Day. It's kind of like their official St. Patrick's Day. Late in the night, two guys dressed as cops come to this art gallery, flees the place, take Rembrandt, take Vermeer's. So it's, there's this kind of, you're starting off with that mystery. It's played out over four episodes. So again, kind of not a massive, massive commitment, but a decent amount of time to kind of go through bit by bit. There's a bit of Irish interest on two episodes in. There's kind of two main suspects in this art heist, which are the two mobs in Boston, which are the Irish and the Italians. There have been some links between the Irish and kind of ways to send money back to fund the IRA in Ireland. So not sure how that storyline is going to play out, but it's definitely there in place. So again, it's really well done and definitely worth checking out.
Okay, so it's called This Is a Robbery, the World's Biggest Art Heist. That's on Netflix as well?
Yeah, that's on Netflix, and that came out in the last couple of weeks as well.
Okay, that sounds decent. Is it worth watching the full four episodes?
I'm two episodes in, okay, and I'm still hooked. It's a bit like, it's a bit of a podcast pace to it, where you might be able to sort of check Twitter while you're listening along to bits, and then big things happen. So
it's funny.
It's good.
It's funny. You know, 3 or 4 years ago, you would have said, "Oh, I was checking Twitter during this. It's not very good." Now it's like, because you're all addicted to checking Twitter, we are all addicted to checking Twitter. It's like, this is so good, I can actually check Twitter and not miss that much.
Exactly. There's good consideration there from the production staff. So applause to them. And that's definitely worth checking out.
Last one you might have missed is Sherpa.
Yeah, Sherpa is really good. This is a feature-length documentary, again, on Netflix. It's from 2015, but it's only been added to Netflix recently. This is incredible. It's like kind of looking into the whole culture of climbing Mount Everest, where it's following both these Sherpas who work on the mountain and also these tour groups, where you have kind of this guy from New Zealand who's running this big operation where all these people are paying him loads of money to come and like experience Everest. And you have like the Sherpas going and like building these massive tents, like something you'd find like an electric picnic or something, like these domes with like TVs and libraries and stuff, like halfway up Everest. So you've kind of, they're originally kind of looking at this sort of tension of this sort of like commercialization of everything's going on and a bit of disregard for the people who are actually doing this dangerous work. And then there has been this kind of idea that there's a disaster looming, and that disaster happens, 16 Sherpas die. So it kind of deals with the fallout of that, a lot of the questions. There's this big, just at the start of the season when they're prepping, when this accident happens, so then there's pressure on the Sherpas to work. Tour operators coming down hard on them. You've got people who paid all this money going over to climb Everest who are freaking out, but really interesting, really damning portrait of the people who are kind of paying all this money going over, and they're like, WTF, we can't go up the mountain while there's this like massive tragedy has just happened. And also there's this kind of Sherpa strike bubbling where they're sort of protesting that they want more rights if they're going to climb. And then you're kind of, the whole question of the documentary is whether the season's going to go ahead at all. So I would definitely recommend that one. It's one I stumbled upon a couple of weeks ago, and yeah, really, really, really good.
Is that a movie?
That's a movie, yeah. So it's like a 90-minute documentary.
There's a lot to be said for the old 90-minute documentaries where you can get in and out on one night and go, yeah, I've seen that now, that bite size. There's no commitment here. There's no deep and meaningful. We're not, you know, we all understand this is one night and that's it. And we're never going to see each other again.
Exactly. And I can guarantee you that there's one scene in it that I won't spoil that will leave your jaw on the floor. So I'll leave you with that.
Okay. 087-9180-180 if anybody has any recommendations for this. OTBAM is live in association with Gillette. Good morning. Start with Gillette, giving you the confidence to tackle the day ahead. One last one. Stuff you're still watching on. What are you still watching?
Still rewatching the Wire at the moment. Haven't come back to Married at First Sight this week, unfortunately. Once the Champions League cools down now, there'll be a lot of real estate to watch up with. However, we should just mention one thing. Joseph Conroy's moustache this morning, ladies and gentlemen, for those listening on the radio, was the most magnificent thing I've ever seen. He hasn't been on a Skype call with us in a long time. We obviously do all our meetings without being face to face. In the sly, while we were growing our pathetic moustaches over the last 4 months, he was growing an absolute 1960s legendary moustache. It was unbelievable. So congratulations to him. But no, I'm not watching much at the moment.
He's gone, I think, is he? He's gone, so he's going to have to look back at the video of you explaining it. It actually would intimidate Darren Cave. That's how good it was. He's back. Joe, you're back.
I'm back. Sorry. What did I miss?
You did Movember on the sly actually not for Movember at all.
I did. Along with watching five series of The Circle in Lockdown 3, I decided to stop shaving for a while, then left the mustache for the crack, then girlfriend convinced me to leave it for a week, then got attached to it. So we'll see. We'll have more updates on that as well.
It's staying, is basically. And I it was exactly the same thing with November. It was like, you're not going to keep this. And it, you know what? Who cares? I think we should all grow mustaches again.
Exactly.
Yeah, never. What are you?
I think it's actually, I've been watching a good bit of like really early mornings BT Aussie Rules, and just like every second Aussie Rules player just has a big mustache. I think just like by osmosis, it just kind of got into my mind.
Well, it suits you. Congratulations. Owen was waxing lyrical about it, saying that it was far superior to anything else that has ever appeared on this show, and I'd have to give that a ringing endorsement as well. Good stuff. Thanks very much. Where are you in the wire, Owen? How far along?
Midway through season 3. I forgot how unbelievable season 2 was, actually. I'm not sure. It's only my first rewatch, so second time season 2. Oh my God, it's so, so good. And yeah, it's so satisfying to rewatch as well. You're finished it, I think.
Yes, yes, yes. I want to wait until you're finished with season 5 to... season 5 is a hot mess. It's like you with the Christmas party, Owen. It's a hot mess. I will expand on that a little bit later on when we get the opportunity to do it in some more detail. But in the meantime, if anybody has any season 5 Wire theories, feel free to share them with us. 0879-180-180. Right.
OTB AM.
With Gillette, we don't just play the game, we change it. Gillette. Made of what matters. That was an OTB Podcast Network presentation.